We're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Yudbet Amudbet. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to the speedy recovery of Mordechai ben Maya Sharon and his mother. He just had a bris milah today, and Hashem should give him a speedy recovery, and his mother as well. And we had left off with a discussion of how do we know that in the third year there's Maiser Ani and Maiser Rishon. How do we know this system which we describe that the first 2 years you have Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni, and the third year you have Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani? And Rabbi Yishuv and Levi quoted, Rabbi Yishuv and Levi is which generation? First generation of Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yishuv and Levi quoted a pasuk that the third year is called Shnat HaMaaser, indicating there's only one Maiser, and that's to the exclusion of Maiser Sheni. Only Maiser Ani is given in the third year. Now, how do we know Maiser Rishon continues to be given that third year? Because with regards to Maiser Rishon, the Torah calls it Nachalatchim, their inheritance, their plot. And just like the inheritance, the plot remains one's forever. There's no year in which you pause from owning your plot. So too, the Maiser Rishon to the Levim doesn't pause. The Maiser Sheni takes a pause during the third year, and Maiser Ani takes its place. Okay, and we're up to the parentheses, about 15 lines from the top, parentheses that say, Tana Tanya Ida. Or Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a braisa that goes along these lines. The pasuk says, Ki techale lasir. The same pasuk Rabbi Yishuv and Levi brought. And it calls it Bashana Shlishit Shnat HaMaaser. So the Braisa says, Shana She'en Ba Ela Maaser Echad. On this third year, you only have one Maaser. HaKeitzad Maaser Rishon Maaser Ani. Umaaser Sheni Yibatel. Meaning you have Maaser Rishon. And then you add to it one Maaser, meaning Maaser Ani. And Maaser Rishon doesn't take effect on this third year. You might think that Maaser Rishon also ceases to be in effect on this third year. Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, Uva Levi, the Levi will come and you'll give him his lot. So the Torah seems to indicate that whenever he comes, you give it to him. Kol zman sheba, ten lo. Whenever he comes, give it to him. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that's the source for this concept, that Maaser Rishon doesn't cease. Any year he comes, you give it to him. Meaning, Maaser Rishon is relevant every year. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he has a different source. He says, Einot tzarich, I don't need that pasuk. Arei Omer ben Alvim tedaber v'amarta aleihem, ki tikum et bnei Yisrael et ha-maaser asher natati lachem meitam benachalatchem. The pasuk describes the Maaser as their inheritance. Hekishah katuv lenachala. The pasuk equated it. The pasuk drew a similarity between the Maaser and the land that is our inheritance. Manachala in lahefsek, af Maaser Rishon in lahefsek. Just as the land that we inherited in the land of Israel remains ours, and there isn't a year in which it isn't ours, so to Maaser Rishon remains the Levites, and we don't take off the third year from giving the Levi Maaser Rishon. Okay, so Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is in support of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's derivation. Straightforward, yeah.
Is it true that you don't need a tradition to do a hekesh?
I don't know.
If you have to have a tradition, do a hekesh. It's a form of derivation where you connect two kids or more.
I don't know. Okay. Onward. We said that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Lindarim for vows. You guys have it?
Yes.
Two dots. Tan Rabbanan, we have a braisa. Hamudarana mechavero lishana. If someone took a vow that he will not derive benefit from his friend for a year. So how do you count a year? So you count 12 months from day to day. Okay. But if he says, I will not have any benefit from you this year. It's like the kids who go off to yeshiva every Rosh Hashanah and they say, Mom, Dad, this is the last time I'm going to see you this year. So when you say this year, everyone knows it means the year up until Rosh Hashanah. Even if he says it on the 29th of Elul, once the first of Tishrei comes, meaning once the sun sets, once night comes in, so that's it. He fulfilled his vow that year. Yeah. Even the opinion that does not say that a day in the year constitutes a year, over here, that day does constitute a year, because letzeure nafshei kabilalei, he accepted upon himself some kind of self-affliction. He says, I will not have any benefit from you this year. Okay, so once that day passed, but that day he didn't have benefit from him. So he did have some of that self-affliction, and once he said this year means this year till the first of Tishrei, till Rosh Hashanah, and then the vow is up. Ve'im anisan, so the Gemara says, how do you know to say that the first of Tishrei is the beginning of the year with regards to vows that people take for that year? Maybe the year should begin in Nisan. And says the Gemara, bin darim alechacha l'shon ne'adam, this is a major rule. When it comes to vows, we go by people's lingo. This rule has a lot of, the way people talk, this rule has a lot of applications. A lot of the tractate Nedarim revolves around this rule. Rashi explains it here. There's a very important Rashi. Rashi Lashon Bnei Adam. You got to go back up the page. In the standard editions, it's about 7 lines down from the Hagos Habach. Oz Vehadar Lashon Bnei Adam. No?
Wow.
The last word on the line is Lashon. Okay. You got it, Bezalel?
The last word is Lashon, the first word is Bnei
Adam. Says Rashi, She'en Adam Noder Ela al Lashon Shehu Ragil Ledaber. Because a person, when he takes a vow, he uses the vernacular he is accustomed to. If, you know, in... I don't remember which country, but there's a country where when you say, it means yes. I don't remember which country. We used to have someone who used to come to Mishnah's here from that country. Everything I'd say, he'd go, And it took me a long time to get used to it. I always used to pause. Okay, so you have you have the vernaculars. Well, when he says he's showing his enthusiasm as to his agreement. In Nidarim, vows are an expression of what one is thinking. So in vows, we go after the vernacular a person is accustomed to. V'derech bnei adam likot tishrei Rosh Hashanah. And people are accustomed to referring to the one of the month of Tishrei as Rosh Hashanah. Even though technically, halachically, Nisan is Rosh Hashanah, and Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah, all the things we saw in the Mishnah. But when he took a vow, when he said, this year, he meant till Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, in everyone's minds, that the general assumption is, Rosh Hashanah is one in the month of Tishrei.
So what happens if he means about publicly, that he needs to return something to someone? So what happened if that person, the second person, wants to go to bed then because he didn't fulfill his own vow? So we have a vernacular Rosh Hashanah, but we have a legal Rosh Hashanah.
But we have?
There is a legal Rosh Hashanah, and there is a Rosh Hashanah that's... For
the legal Rosh Hashanah is also Tishrei. Tishrei is also a legal Rosh Hashanah.
Right, but in the bed thing, if a person, the second person could understand that the person that made the vow means a different date.
If he meant a different date, if we can prove that he meant a different date, he's bound by what he really meant. Here the point is, the guy says, I'm not sure what I meant. So we say, okay, you meant what people usually mean. people usually call Tishrei Rosh Hashanah. If the guy says, I said Rosh Hashanah, and I was just learning that Nisan's Rosh Hashanah, and I meant Nisan. So fine, you can't bind him by what other people say, that's what he meant to say. Tanan Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there, the Mishnah says in Maestros. Okay, now we're starting a big sugya. I was hoping we'd finish it here. But okay, we'll start. It's very important. We have a type of spice that shows up throughout the Shas, and it's called Tilson. Tiltan. Tilson. Tilson seems was either a type of bean or a type of spice, and it had many unique characteristics. But for our Mishnah, we don't need any of that. The Mishnah is discussing, if you recall, we discussed that in order to obligate something in Maaser, it has to reach a certain point. Some things need a certain point in how ripe they are, and some things you actually have to harvest, like the vegetables. Different things have different criteria, and the Gemara is going to explore this for the next page. The next daf is going to be revolving around this idea. Where do we get it from? How do you know when to make it? We're going to really go in depth. This is the sugya, right here. This is where the Gemara explores that. You have Mishnayos in Maestros that revolve around this. So we're beginning the discussion with the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hatiltan. If you want to know what year of Maaser does Tiltan belong to, so then the rule is, Mi she titzmach, or titzameach. From the time that the Tilson grows, you don't look at its harvest. You might say Tiltan should be a vegetable. And the Maaser is defined, Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, is defined based on when you harvested it, says the Mishnah. No, you go by the time it grew. And the Gemara is going to explain that in a second. Hatvuah ve'azeitim, grains and olives, they're defined, their year that they're attributed to is Mi sheyaviu shlish, once they've ripened a third of their ripeness. Once they've ripened that third, that defines them for which year you take off Trumas and Maestros, and everything really, as we'll see. What? Ripened the third. If it became ripe, one third ripe, yeah, that's when it's defined for Maestro. So the Gemara now asks, Mai mi shetitzmach. What does that mean once it grows? You know, everything grows and grows. So how do you define when it's grown enough? What does that mean? So the Gemara answers, Mishetitzmach lizraim, when the seed inside it grows. Meaning this is a type of plant that has a seed inside it. Well, once it has that seed, that's enough. Okay, there's... the Tosus quotes a Jerusalem Talmud, which quotes a different pshat, and the idea is that it's ripe enough that if you pluck it and you plant it elsewhere, it'll keep growing. That's the idea, that it grew. Mishetitzmach lizraim. Lizraim meaning to replant it. It has to be ripe enough that it can handle that and continue growing. Okay, there's another pshat over there in the Mishnah that the Rambam goes with, but two pshatim are enough for one night. Back to the Gemara. Minani mili. No, because halachically, I don't think we go with either one of these. Halachically, we go with the Rambam.
We do go with the Rambam?
I think so.
So we didn't hear the Rambam.
Right. Minani mili. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, so now we're starting the big sugya. Gemara is saying, let's focus on the things that their meiser is doraisa. Meaning the rabbinic things, okay, the rabbis invented the concept that you have to take off meiser on vegetables. They could tell me when the year for vegetable goes. Fine, they said and they said. They're the boss. Fine. I don't have too many questions about that. But when I'm talking about the grain and the olives, so their meiser is biblical. So then I say, wait a second, how do you know to go by a third of its ripeness? Now, yesterday we were a little bit tight on time. Today we're going to make believe that we aren't. And we'll expand a little bit. You have to know Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi Rambam, and there's a Tosus on Amud Aleph we didn't get to look at. What's Chayev and Meiser Midoraisa, biblically? The Mishnah in Maestros tells me a rule. If it conforms to the following criterion, then it's Chayev and Maestros. We have a Klal Upratu Klal, we have a law of derivation, and we derive from that other things should be Chayev. The Pasuk says, Dagan Tirosh Yitzah. Grain, five grains. Wine, oil. What about other things that fit into that criterion? Yeah, Tirosh is wine. What about other things that fit into that criterion? Does the Medrash mean to include them midoraisa or not? That's a machlokas. Rashi, Rambam. Rambam says they are included doraisa. Rashi over here in other places says, no. Dagan tirosh yitzar. That's biblical. Everything else isn't. And Yehuda's already squinting and trying to fit this all into the Rambam we're in the middle of learning on Thursday nights. Okay. No, you better be squinting and figuring that out. What do you mean?
I can't get into that. First, I understand this. I mean, first of all, the klal brought to klal. Isn't that the rule is that it includes things that are like the specified
pratim? Right.
So who's arguing that the other... because they don't hold that derivation is...
I said you're going to start squinting. Okay.
Okay, but besides from that, what are some examples of things that are like that? What are the criteria we're looking at? The way they grow?
A lot of things. Look it up. It's a mission in the beginning. It's just back to our...
As an example of this one?
Yeah. Pomegranates. Pomegranates, dates. Are they chayv d'oraisa or not?
To determine things by the seed.
Excellent question. Wow, you guys are asking excellent questions. But now we got to stick to here. Okay, so let's try to work this out. This is going to be difficult enough without spreading out. But I felt bad that we skipped over that tosis. This is a very, very important tosis on Amud Aleph. It's a little bit lengthy. If you guys take the time to learn it, then I'll be happy to help you with it. Tana, yeah, it's a very important tosis for all of Shas. So all of the whole concept of trumas and maestros on vegetables, what's biblical, what's rabbinic. So if you try, then we'll find time to work it out. Not here. Okay, so now we're going to begin exploring minani mili. How do you know to divide it based on a third of its ripeness? How do you know that? Now that the Jerusalem Talmud asks your question, how do you estimate when it's a third? How do you estimate when the seed could be planted? So Jerusalem Talmud gives all kinds of formulas that they had, but that's not for now. That you could see, you open up the Mishnah, the Mepharshim quote right away, Tosus over here quotes part of it. Back to our Gemara. Minani mili. So the Gemara says, how do you know biblically to discern, to make this cutoff point of the grains or the olives reaching a third of their ripeness? Amar Ravasi. Ravasi is the second to last generation of Amoraim in Israel, right? Amar Rav Yochanan. He didn't hear it directly from Rav Yochanan, but he heard it from people who heard it from people from Rav Yochanan. He was fourth generation from Rav Yochanan. So Ravasi didn't hear it directly from him. But Ravasi is quoting Rav Yochanan, Umatu ba mishmei de Rav Yossi Aglili, and some say it in the name of Rav Yossi Aglili, a Tana already. Amar Kra. The Pasuk says, Miketz sheva shanim b'moed shnata shmita b'chag ha-sukot. The Pasuk is describing that we have a mitzvah of hakel. Every 7 years we all gather, the king gathers at the temple, reads us a part of the Torah, and when the Torah describes it, the Torah says at the end of 7 years, at the time of Shemitah on Sukkot, Shnata Shemitah Mayavidite. Well, at the end of the 7th year, meaning you finished the 7th year, now you're at the beginning of the 8th year, Sukkot of the 8th year is not Shemitah anymore. It says Miketz, at the conclusion of the 7 years. After the 7th year, meaning after Shemitah, when Sukkot comes and it's Shemitah. What do you mean? It's not Shemitah. You just said it's after the 7 years. So Shnata Shemitah Mayavidite Bechag HaSukkot. What's Shemitah doing? Extending itself past Rosh Hashanah to Sukkot. Shminiti, we're talking about the 8th year. Ela lo malecha. But the pasuk was coming to tell me something else. That when you're going to be standing in that eighth year, don't assume that your cutoff mark is Rosh Hashanah, and that's it. Once the eighth year comes in, you can eat all the crops. No. The pasuk was telling me in that eighth year, there's going to be residuals of the seventh year of the Shemitah. Lo malecha, the pasuk was going to tell you that kol tvoa shevi ashrish bashvi'it lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Any crops, any grains that are ripe in the third during the Shemitah year prior to Rosh Hashanah, ata noheg bo minag shvi'it bashminit, you're treated with the same holiness. Shemitah extends into the eighth year, and that's why for fruits in general, Shemitah extends half a year into the eighth year, because we go by when they ripen the third for tvua and for zeitim, and other fruits also have their chanata, they have their point, but at any rate, what happens is the fruits last a long time. Last year, they were still selling oranges that were Kedusha Shvius. Last year, you could still go to the market, and if you go to the shuk, the Rabbanut sign has little letters, the Rabbanut Mehadrin sign has little letters that says the following. There are also fruit here that are from the Heter Mechira. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi, or from Otzer Bezdin. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi whether you're allowed to eat it. That's when I stopped eating their fruit. I said, what kind of Hechsher is it that you write in little letters? Ask your local Orthodox rabbi if you could eat what's under our Hechsher. So why are you letting people sell that? What's going on here?
Well, it depends if you hold by Heter
Mechira. No, it was a question of beer. But that's not for now. I'm not talking about holding him by Heter Mechira. I'm talking about beer. Meaning it was after a time... We discussed beer here. Didn't we have a whole class on what beer is? No, this wasn't here. We didn't... No, beer is Shvius.
You just gave the example of Rabban, which you didn't really expand too much.
Oh, okay. That was in Katamon. I'm sorry, I got confused. Okay, in a nutshell. The Torah tells us that the fruits of Shemitah may be eaten so long as the animals have fruits that are growing wild outside. The second all the crops are finished, you have to remove the food from your home. Machlokis Rambam Rash, is there ever a point at which you're not allowed to have it all together? Meaning the Jerusalem Talmud says you can put it out of your home, say Hefker, and take it back home. Does that mean that after you've said Hefker and taken it back home, you could have it and enjoy it forever? That's what most of Israel holds today, and that's why you have a lot of people that still have Shemitah produce at home. Or the Rambam says that that's stage number one, but then there's stage number two, when throughout the land of Israel there's none of this crop out for the wild animals. Once you hit that point, when it's not just in your locality that there's none left outside, but throughout Israel there's none left outside, then you're not allowed to have it anymore. You got to get rid of it. That's the Rambam's opinion. So let's assume we're going with the Rash. Let's say we're Rash people. That's the Chazon Ish. Others went with the Rash, that you could enjoy the fruits of Shemitah after you made them Hefker when beer time came. That's called beer Shvius. But that only works if someone did beer. What happens if they harvested 1 million tons of oranges? They're not putting them outside saying Hefker when the beer time comes. So then it's not clear at all that you're allowed to buy those oranges. Meaning all of this is if you did it. You bought the Otzer Bezdin wine, and along comes the beer time for the Otzer Bezdin wine. So you take it outside, you put 6 crates outside, you say Hefker, Hefker, Hefker. Everyone walks by and says, for real? You say, yeah. They say, oh, that's nice. And before they think twice, you take it back home. Okay, they had their chance. They didn't take it. You took it. You made Hefker. Fine. Okay, that's if you did it. But the whole point of the Rabbanut sign was that we have fruits here that no one really did it. That's the blunt way of saying it.
I see. And you can't even buy it and then do Hefker on it?
So that's what you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But they themselves here couldn't say, well, you're somech on our shita, because it's not so pashut. There is a shita here. It's very, very, very problematic. That's why they had to write that fine print. It's there. It's on the sign. I think if you go to the shuk today, you'll still see it on their signs. And the Rabbanut Yerushalayim sign on fruits and vegetables. Because a few months ago, I called them up. And they started telling me which fruits were still from Shemitah, yeah. So about a half a year ago. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, to be continued, Bezat Shem.